is Cap Figure Podcast 47 episode, 47th episode. And I found just Susan Wolman and Mike Tyson. It's very brief, and then Tom is here.
You know, I'm thinking about this whole week and your whole career, and you almost remind me of a Shakespearean hero.
Are you talking out of turn? I normally don't do interviews with women unless I fornicate with them.
Oh, my goodness gracious!
I'm out of breath. My neck hurts because every time I said yeah, I whip my neck around. This is the Cap Figure Podcast, episode 47. I'm Ryan DiPaolo. Hi.
Make me come over there and smack you.
Who are you?
Tom McLaughlin.
Speaking of smacking, you know that the thing where you tap somebody on the shoulder and then hold a fist steady and then they whip their head around and punch themselves by force of whipping their head around?
Yes.
I just did that numerous times to myself, theoretically, like if there was a stationary fist there. And many times I got caught with that in elementary school because I'm a high-strung personality, as you know, and I will very quickly be like, what's going on there that somebody tapped me?
Problems.
So, Tom, this is Cap Figure Podcast, episode 47. Excuse us, there's some drilling in this building. Hopefully you won't hear it. And maybe I should have just tried to not mention it, says Tom's face, that he just like went like gave me a palm up, like, why are you mentioning that look? Is that what that meant to say?
No, I'm glad that you gave the disclaimer.
All right, whatever. So you know some players who wore number 47?
Yes.
Well, explain.
So from the old school players, the player who wore it the most number of years, Jesse Orosco, 24 years wearing number 47. The player who's the most successful to wear 47, Tom Glavin, 22 years, 81 and a half.
Screw him, bro. He blew the Mets playoffs in the last game of the season at the last game in Shea twice.
On top of just tearing them apart for whatever it was, 14 seasons with the Braves.
Dude, we cheated. I know. It's like, what is it? It's like the Vikings with Brett Favre or something. Like we just totally sold our wife for like a fling with a girl for 2 weeks.
And then the other famous player is Jack Morris, 18 years.
Who won the White Sox?
He played on the Tigers and the Twins.
Yeah, same thing. So, no, go on.
He was most famous for pitching the Game 7 against John Smoltz.
Never heard of it. I don't know. Well, so he played recently.
Yeah, in the early 90s, late 80s.
Bro, all right. Did you know that the early 90s is like 25 years ago now?
It's crazy.
Yeah, that's statistics. So today what we're going to do, we're going to call it Guadalupe or Mantino. No, I don't know. It's buy or sell, but I'm thinking of another term. Let's call it A-Rod or Jeter, right? And A-Rod means you're selling the idea, and Jeter, you're buying. Is that a good, maybe we pick other players. Like, who do we hate here at the show?
Carlos Gomez.
Carlos Gomez. Okay, so we'll say Carlos Gomez.
Gomer.
Gomer, or, and he will be for sale. And who are we buying? Maybe our first person, Thames.
Yeah.
No, wait. Who else?
But we
come
can't
on.
Use it for him.
All right, we're going to do Chad Pennington or Carlos Gomez. I know it's a cross-sport reference. I know it's a selfish reference. I know it has nothing to do with anybody but me, but Chad Pennington, the old Jets quarterback. All right.
Okay.
Energy. All right, so we're going to do the segment. We're going to do Gomez, Gomer, or Pennington.
And just to give my man a shout-out, Johnny Cueto is another 47.
All right.
I had to mention that.
Dude, we were just looking at his Instagram. He looks like a member of the Baja Men. Like, he has fat tits, skinny legs. He's very funny build. He looks like he's an alcoholic, possibly.
he kind of looks like SpongeBob.
Dude, he looks...
but inflated a little bit.
Yes. Yes, he does. He's
possibly an alcoholic.
Yes. All right, so he'll be bi. We're actually sorry for all the audibles, guys. We should have done this behind the scenes, but, you know, there's a peek behind the curtain, so to speak, a peek behind the panties of the Cap Figure podcast. It's going to be Gomez or Cueto, and Cueto's buying and Gomez selling. All right. So we're going to get into trends that have, or whatever, you know, players doing well, teams doing well or bad. And it's like, yo, is this thing going to continue or is it not, right? As simple as that, right? So first we have, I don't even know how to pronounce his name anymore, right?
Yeah.
Eric Thames?
I think Thames is the way to go.
All right. Well, that's the black way. That's the real way. If you Google how to pronounce
Thames.
So okay. We'll say Thames. What do you say?
I like Thames.
All right, so done. Cap Figure Podcast official pronunciation is Thames. All right, so he's obviously off to an insane start, right? Like he's leading the baseball, leading baseball in home runs. He hit two more last night against a left-handed pitcher.
Sure, I'll run through his stats. So in the early part of the season, 10 home runs, 373 batting average, leading the league with 61 total bases, a 1.392 OPS, and a 2.66 OPS plus. And the one other kind of notable thing is 13 walks to 18 strikeouts.
Okay, well, why is this surprising? Who is this guy? Why, you know, like, what's his story? This is why it's so crazy.
Yeah, it's crazy because it's such a roundabout sort of journey to where he is now. He was selected out of high school in the 33rd round by the Yankees, went back to school at Pepperdine, and was drafted in 2008 by the Blue Jays in the 7th round. He kind of worked his way up with the Blue Jays to be a top prospect, sort of emerged and hit well for about a half a season. He was then traded to Seattle.
This is in the minors he hit well for half a season?
Actually, up into the majors.
Okay.
He hit well for a decent amount of time, then kind of got exposed. Got traded to Seattle. Seattle ends up cutting him. The Astros picked him up because at one point he was so promising. The Astros picked him up. They hired the new GM, and the new GM basically just put him on waivers right away. He had no offers to go to Japan, which is, well, considered the second best league in the world. So he went and played at Korea for a couple of years, 3 years to be exact.
I didn't even know Korea had, like, a legitimate league where you could make any money until,
yeah, KBL,
until this.
KBL.
And no, not like, North Korea, right?
No, not North Korea.
I'm telling you, he would never make it back.
Yeah, he wouldn't.
So and then what? And then in this offseason his contract ended, or like he was been killing it in Korea, and so MLB teams were like, yo, let's give him a second look, yo.
Yeah, I think that he had been on a year-to-year contract, but it was sort of easy to, you know, you can have 1 year, it looks great. And there was sort of a negative sentiment to him when he left. You know, you just go from being a very kind of like trendy, popular pick, and then people... It's like with Byron Buxton. We're kind of like, enough already.
Yeah, you know? Right. And if he left for Korea, it's like, this is the story of his career. He's a failure, blah, blah, blah. And so now he's 30 and he comes back this year, a 3-year, $60 million contract, right?
With a player option
for 2020, which, dude, even if he maintains his pace for another half season, a 33-year-old like Thames with this success, he probably will decline the player option because somebody, even just if he got injured at the end of this year, will give him 1 year for $6 million, right?
Yeah, and he's not a terrible defender either. He can kind of fit in both leagues. You know, what's sort of interesting about the story, too, is the Brewers ended up taking him or signing him because they had Chris Carter last year. They liked Chris Carter, but he was going into arbitration, and the Brewers GM sort of predicted rightly that if Carter went to arbitration, he would get a huge number because of the number of home runs.
And Carter, to be fair, had a lot of walks. He had a really productive season last year.
Right.
But you're right. That is funny. That is a funny angle. One, that's BS. You're the Brewers. You're just trying to tank, sort of, and you're broke. But two, maybe there's something to that. Maybe that's fair. Maybe home runs are overrated with arbitrators who don't know much more about baseball besides the stats. But I mean, they do. But anyway, so yo, are you Gomezing or Cueto-ing team success?
I'm gonna Cueto it.
And this is for the rest of the season. That maybe obviously he's not gonna finish with a 1392 OPS, right? But like maybe let's say 1,000. You think he's legit?
Yeah, I think this is gonna stick around. I think he's gonna regress to some extent, but from the at bats I've seen, he's just a phenomenal hitter.
He's super smart, and I should have played the audio, but you already knew what he sounded like. I thought he was gonna sound, to be racist, like a thug, because he has a chain and he's jacked and has tattoos and he has a cool haircut and he's all cool looking, right? Crushing home runs. And then I hear him in an interview and he's like, it's all about the approach. I'm just trying to put good swings on the ball. The results are the results, like the most intelligent view. And he says the team is playing well. You know, I'm just getting lucky. He said, I'm just getting lucky. How humble.
Yeah. Mr.
Gomez would say, yeah, man, I crushed that ball, man. I hit the home run, man, dog. That was on me, dog.
Yeah, I'm going to call him Mr. T from now on.
Mr. T, he's earned that. All right.
Barry Bonds Jr.
Also, it's easy for us to love him because we both have him on our fantasy teams, right?
Yeah.
I drafted him. You drafted him. Caught him for a day, delusionally, and then picked him back up, luckily. I know that you're Cueto-ing him. I'm a Cueto him. I'm a buy the success also. But before we move on, I just want to read that. There was some controversy about the Cubs and Lackey making comments about Thames maybe being on PEDs. And this is what Lackey said. You watch film on recent stuff and try to figure out a way, you know, to get him out. But I mean, really, even the homer hit the other way. I mean, you don't see that happen here very often. That's kind of one of those things that make you scratch your head. And when he said that's kind of one of those things that make you scratch your head, Lackey like winked and smiled. And then the pitching coach said some stuff like he said a bunch of stuff about like he was like, man, you look at Barry Bonds, you look at Barry Bonds, Ken Griffey Jr., you look at so-and-so, Manny Ramirez, stuff like this doesn't happen. You know, I'll let baseball deal with it, but, you know, it makes you wonder. That pisses me off, first of all, right? Because as pointed out, as the God Buster only pointed out, Lackey, your oldest balls and your velocity hasn't gone down.
Yeah.
Who want to accuse who of steroids, bro? You want to play this game, dog?
Yeah.
Also, I believe, I don't know, how do you feel? There's maybe a good check-in on how well we have faith in baseball's testing program, but I do feel like they will get caught if people are really cheating.
Yeah, I think if he is cheating, he would get caught, and he's a new player in the league coming over from a different country. I would assume, and maybe this is wrong, but I would
there's
assume...
There's no test for Korean steroids yet?
I would assume that baseball would have tested him pretty extensively before he played his first game.
Oh, I didn't even think of that. Yeah. I mean, I'm sure there's a new-to-the-league test, I would imagine, and then it's random. I don't know the details of the test, but, you know, Starling Marte, D. Gore, like big players are getting suspended now. With no, you know, it's not like baseball wants that in any way to be happening.
Yeah, I mean, the narrative I would buy more than steroids, because this is not, I don't think this is isolated just to him. It's sort of a league-wide thing, you know, with the home run pace being as ridiculous as it has been the past 2 years or year and change. Maybe the ball is just a little bit harder than it was, you know, a couple of years ago. I would buy that before I bought him being on steroids.
What do you mean? Oh, buy that as a reason for this crazy success?
Mm-hmm.
Also, but I mean, to be fair, he's jacked. He's a beast. And who knows? You know, he very well could be. He signed this guaranteed deal, right? And he's like, this is my last chance to get a giant payday in baseball. I'm going to take the calculated risk. Ryan Braun is teaching me how, right?
Yeah.
Ryan Braun is like, yo, if you get caught, you just burn every bridge and make everyone hate you, but you'll still get paid. But I don't know. Maybe it would be a calculated risk. It's like you're guaranteed $16 million. Let me just go hard and try to get one last big chance at a payday in my life.
Sure.
Like, yeah, it could make sense for him, but maybe only in his last year. I don't know.
Yeah, yeah, that's the thing that's kind of a little bit weird to me. It's like, would he then be taking steroids all 3 years? Because it's not like he's immediately going to be a free agent soon.
Yeah.
So.
Well, yeah, no, you're right. I mean, who knows? But anyway, so we're both buying Thames' success. He's awesome. And what seals the deal is that he said, I'm just getting lucky, man. That humility is steroid humility. No, I don't know. All right. So, and also the fly ball rate is probably just like the balls that all the play, like a reason for his home runs other than steroids, aside from balls being hard, is just that everybody is trying to hit fly balls now. Like, since Bryant came up and said his goal each game is to hit 4 fly balls, every player in baseball basically is trending towards, like, away from ground balls. They want to hit fly balls by design.
Yeah, and the availability of information from StatCast has also sort of reinforced that idea,
right,
of hitting line drives or fly balls. Look at Mark Trumbo last year. He looks like a steroid user, I mean, based on the results, but...
Yeah, he has a grotesque face. But you know what? Yeah. And now you see the guys who got suspended, Marte and Gordon, in the last 2 years. It's funny, like, maybe we don't even know what a steroid user today looks like.
Yeah.
All right, so the next... Cueto or Gomez, buy or sell? Buy Cueto, sell Gomez. The Giants are off to a horrible start, right? They're below 500. Tell me their stats or their what's good. Give me the basics, bro.
Yeah, the most striking thing to me was...
The most ball thing, because they can't throw strikes. Get it?
Right. Yeah, exactly. The most striking thing to me was second worst record in baseball since last year's All-Star game at 33-55.
Wow, only the Twins are worse, bro?
Only the Twins are worse, and they were clearly tanking.
That's bad company.
You've got 7-13 records. They're already 7 games behind the Rockies.
That's insane.
Madison Bumgarner out almost 8 weeks with the sprained AC joint. And, you know, we were both talking about this before the season, their pitching rotation is phenomenal. They've got a big three, then, you know, plus Mike Leake. But maybe it was a little bit too early to sort of crown them with that title because Samardzija looks horrendous. Leake and Cueto have pitched very well. They've still had this record. But losing Mad Bum kind of shakes up the whole dynamic. I still think Cueto's an ace, but it makes everybody else look a little bit less intimidating.
Wait, where's Matt Moore?
Matt Moore, I don't think he pitches on the Giants anymore.
Yo, I'm gonna look that up.
Or he does.
Yeah, do you...
And Kane.
I can't believe Kane is still in the rotation. Mike Leake is on the Cardinals. I think you mean to say Matt
Moore.
Oh, I'm
sorry. Yeah,
you're
Matt Moore.
Him up with Matt Moore.
Right.
I just, because you know, so I'm sorry I let you linger with that. You know, another peek behind the jock strap here. Tom knows much more than me about baseball day to day. So even though I'm like, I think you mean Mike Moore, Matt Moore guy, I got to yield to your knowledge, my God. So I'm sorry to leave you hanging.
No, that's okay.
Well, you referenced this. Mad Bum is out for 8 weeks. What happened, for those who don't know?
He took his big old dirt bike out in the mountains of Denver and was trying to enjoy his off day and just, unfortunately fell off and right on his pitching shoulder.
Came up on a wet spot, man. It just happens time to time. That's a good impression of him. So he was literally on a dirt bike, hit like a puddle, and then landed on his pitching shoulder.
I believe that's got to be something along those lines. I mean, I don't have video.
Well, that's what he said happened, and we know it was on a dirt bike, but that's crazy. And then everybody, as soon as they said he's out 6 to 8 weeks, everybody in the media was like, no. That's like the soonest he can start to come back, right?
Agree.
Is 8 weeks. And then there was talk, the Giants came out and said, well, we're not going to void his contract. First of all, it's like, duh. But second of all, that told us that they could, right? That they had this clause. And this is what I wanted to ask you a little bit about. Is before we are clear whether we're Cueto-ing or Gomez-ing the Giants, but is that in these contracts, I guess it's just the only thing you could include is like, if you're injured due to doing these activities that we don't want you to do, we either can or cannot void your contract. It's not like we don't have to pay you for this time you're out. There's no in between, right? It's like
Correct.
Either a breach of contract or not.
So the contract, they have to specify what the exact activities they don't want the player doing.
Doggy style, like certain positions in sex, some contracts include, I heard.
And Yeah, so if one of those particular things is breached, then the team will take it to court to void the contract. You can't just say, oh, okay, we're going to just take a rebate or renegotiate the contract.
Right, right.
That can happen if the player agrees to take less money, but he would be idiotic to do that.
Right, right. No one's going to see that. It's funny that they would include something to protect themselves like this in a contract, and then now they're just in as tough a spot as if it didn't as if they didn't have that in there, right? Because But you don't know when you sign a deal that it's going to end up being one of the most team-friendly deals in baseball or whatever, right? I mean,
yeah. So
it's like
the lesson is, if you're an underperforming player, err on the side of caution.
Like, remember Aaron Boone after the year after he hit the home run, he got hurt in a pickup game of basketball and was cut, and they got to void his contract, I think.
And then they got A-Rod.
So minor upgrade there.
Slight.
So, yeah, and speaking of Samardzija, yeah, man, he is back to Samardzija. Last year he had a relatively good season. He was up and down, right? Like, his first 7 starts and his last, like, 12 starts were good. And then in the middle, he looked like the Samardzija we know, who's giving up a bunch of home runs with the stupid Pineda look on his face.
Yeah, and then he just has his screaming, like, he frustrates me so much.
Why? What do you mean screaming? Like, his frustrated face?
Yeah, he'll come off the screen, like, he'll get taken off the mound, and he, like, screams into his glove and then goes into the dugout, and he's like, damn, man. Like,
and it's
you
like,
know.
Dude, what do you mean, damn it? You just threw 50 sliders that didn't break in the middle of the plate. That's your fault.
If you can't pitch in that ballpark, you can't pitch.
I single-handedly lost my points league matchup last week because I kept him in at Coors, which I never would have done. Just the game started last Monday at 11, so damn you, ESPN points league format.
The other just two quick things about the Giants that sort of make me Cueto this below 500
yeah,
at the end
this
of the year.
That they're going to stay crappy.
Yeah, I buy that they're going to be a seller at the deadline. They remind me a lot of the Phillies towards the end of the run they were on, where they have elite talent that's gotten a little bit older, and they just sort of fall off the cliff. Now, they have the worst outfield in baseball. Denard Span, Hunter Pence, some dude in left field.
They have, like, the best infield in baseball, though, which is funny.
They do.
I love Nunes now. I didn't like him at the time last year.
Nunes is actually their left fielder now.
Oh, I didn't even know that. I thought he was still playing third. Who's playing third for them?
His name is Christian Arroyo. He just got called up from the minor leagues.
Well, so, but still, Brandon Crawford, Joe Panik, Buster Posey, and Brandon Belt are all, like, 30-ish, under 30. You know, they've been young for a while, but they're not that young anymore. And right, and obviously their outfield sucks. Hunter Pence is having a good year, but he's like 50.
Yeah, and
he's a big piece they could sell. If he continues this pace of the season, you're right. Like, he is definitely someone they could sell.
They have pieces they can sell, and the farm system is just at an all-time low. I would say that their depth as well, when you look at a team, you know, you would say the 25-man roster, but in reality now in baseball, it's like, you know, your 30, 35-man roster because you're cycling all of these relievers in. I would say on the lower end, they're one of the worst teams in baseball. They've got, say, 15 great players.
Oh,
but
you mean they're like, I get you, like, guy on the team number 16 through 30 you think is one of the worst?
Yeah.
You know, I am actually, I'm going to Gomez. I'm going to sell that they're going to stay at this pace bad because maybe they'll get Madison Bumgarner back or not, maybe, but I do believe Samardzija is a little bit better than he's pitched. Cueto's good. I like their whole infield. Like, I like enough pieces on their team. I like Buster Posey's grit. No, I'm joking. I don't analyze baseball like that, like a retard. I was going to say they're gamers. They're going to pull it through, but I don't mean that. But I like Brandon Crawford's mullet. He's like my favorite shortstop in baseball, probably.
You think they're going to make the playoffs?
I think they'll be, like, there for the wild card. Or and then in the bigger picture, I don't know if I buy their demise. Like, they could just be like last year's Astros or something, where, like, they buy a closer and it's a wait. I know it's a weird analogy, but just in that aspect of it. And then they're a big enough market that they double down and buy more free agents in the offseason, you know? Like, even though their farm system, they trade all these pieces, they're a big enough franchise that they could just re-up quickly like the Yankees or somebody, or like the Astros did buying Reddick and Beltran and McCann or whatever.
I don't think that they will have that capability in the coming years, just because you're going to have to pay Mad Bum more.
He may never be the same. The biggest factor in any of this is this injury. He's your ace, who is your favorite player. Your username on a lot of things is Mad Bum. I won't give the number because that might be your password, right? Don't hack his stuff, guys. He's already getting calls from telemarketers. But I don't know. All right, well, let's move on, though. Anything else on the Giants? Where do you think they're going to miss the playoffs? By how many games they're out of the wild card?
I think they'll be at least 6 games out of the second wild card.
Yeah, I'll take the over. I'll take better than that. All right, next. Bryce Harper is back to 2015 Bryce Harper, right? He's murking it, right? Give me his stats.
Yeah, so he's been one of the best April hitters, of all time. So far this year, 7 home runs, .400 batting average.
He's already tied. Speaking of April hitting, he's tied all time for most opening day home runs with some legendary players, and he's only fucking 24.
Yeah, if you look at the OPS in the month of April, I think the names he was behind were Barry Bonds, Babe Ruth, and Ted Williams. So
that's almost evidence, though, that is evidence to Gomez his success. What are your thoughts?
I'm gonna sell that he'll win the MVP, but I'm gonna buy that he's gonna be an elite player.
And who
again
do you
this
think?
Year.
Who are you? I'll let you give me 3 names. Who else could win the NL MVP in your eyes?
Clayton Kershaw is always in the mix.
Arenado still killing it.
If the Rockies make the playoffs this year, I would say he's got a pretty good chance to win the MVP.
You know, I don't know MVP voting that well because I've only followed baseball for the last 5 years, but I wonder what's better, to have this good start and then that lasts in everybody's mind more. Does a first impression last longer than a second half that's amazing like Yoenis is a couple years ago? I'm not sure. Because maybe Bryce Harper doesn't need to continue this pace, but just his reemergence, his 2015 form, will just stay in everyone's mind, and they're already pretty much decided that unless he totally sucks, Bryce has got to be the MVP.
That's a fair point. I would say he's probably the favorite.
Yeah, he for sure is the favorite. He's leading all of baseball in batting average, 394, .400, whatever. He's back to 2015 Bryce. He is second in baseball in runs. He's .518 on base. The thing about Bryce is his career is so interesting to me. He's tied for leading all of baseball in walks with 17. So 2015, obviously, he had the best season I've ever watched a player have. But like I said, that's the caveat of I've only been watching baseball really for 3 or 4 years, right? Hardcore.
Mm-hmm.
But his 2015 was insane. And then last year, he hit his batting average was almost literally 100 points lower, from .330 to .240. His home runs went from 42 to 20. He definitely fell off, but his walks stayed. He still had the plate discipline to carry him to a super productive season, and his on-base percentage was still really high.
I think he was injured last year.
Yeah, and also you suspect he's injured, which. And now with his start, it's to me, he's for sure, I think, going to win the MVP. I'm Cueto-ing this totally because that's even more evidence that the 2015 was not going to be his outlier Jacoby Ellsbury season. It instead actually was the breakout that we thought it was at the time.
Yep.
But it's so hard to know after. He's only 24. He has one best season ever and then one back to the previous, 2014-13 season. But now he's back to 2015. Bryce is the man, bro. And he's less of a douchebag, I feel, just by wishful thinking. He may very well be as douchey as Eric Hosmer, who I don't like, right? And Josh Donaldson. But I like to think he's nicer because I want to root for good players because I'm a sucker. But I hate Kobe Bryant.
I love Bryce. I can't wait for him to come to the Yankees.
Yeah, dude. Oh, my God. I was thinking that, at what point you get depressed if you're a Nationals fan.
I think you gotta
What, be depressed now?
I mean, look. Look,
you gotta be miserable now, guys.
Look, you can be optimistic this team may win a World Series title, but just in the back of your mind, when that domino goes, I mean, look, you have Trey Turner, you have Scherzer and Strasburg, you'll always be in the mix, but you're not going to be able to replicate what he's providing at all.
Dude, you're taunting the Nationals fans. They could re-sign him. The Yankees might be like, we don't want to go on
they're
the
not,
laundry tag. You're so – I know you've been saying it forever that you're super convinced that they're going to sign him.
I think this is like – if I ever had to make a prediction, I think this is like almost a slam dunk that he's going to come to the Yankees.
Dude, let me take you back. And actually, I was on TV behind Rachel Nichols doing a remote report in front of Madison Square Garden the night of LeBron's decision. And for 2 years prior, I had been a fake Knicks fan because I thought that they were going to get LeBron, and then people couldn't call me a bandwagon fan that I already liked the Knicks the previous 2 years.
Yeah, yeah.
With Eddie Curry, Al Harrington. And anyway, I thought it was a lock. It was guaranteed that LeBron. Yeah, Amari, they were still
horrible.
He came
after the
decision.
Yeah,
way after.
Yeah.
I mean, right after, because they had this money, and they were like, oh, we got to sign somebody. Anyway, LeBron said he's taking his talents to South Beach, and I was left with my dick in my butt, you know, and you're going to be there, and I'm not going to feel bad for you if you keep with these arrogant taunts of the Nationals fans.
I'll just taunt the Orioles fans then, too.
About losing Machado?
We're going to get one of the two. I'm more confident about Bryce.
I hate the Yankees. I hate you guys.
But
you're making me remember why I hate the Yankees. You guys haven't been all gaudy with spending since you let Cano walk, except sort of Tanaka and Ellsbury, but I hate you. Screw you guys. You know what? Let's go to the Yankees because we're bantering about them. Do you think they'll make the playoffs? Are you Cueto-ing or Gomez-ing that the Yankees will make the playoffs, right?
It's tough for me. I'm still pessimistic. I'm going to Gomez that they're going to – I'll definitely Gomez that they are going to make – they're going to win the division. And I'll Gomez – I think they'll just miss the playoffs this year. It's astonishing. They're on a phenomenal start, 11-7, 8-1 at Yankee Stadium.
And I thought it was their offense carrying them, right? And it turns out they have the number one whip in baseball, whip.
The other stat is, if you look at run differential, they're first in the league at plus 30.
Have they had a lot of blowout games or something? I haven't really even
there
been
have been
aware
a couple.
Of their scores.
There was a game they won like 11-2.
8-3 and stuff against the Rays and stuff.
It's not the best metric in a, you know, small sample size, but...
Well, Pineda's look good, right? Severino looked awesome last week. Today, he may get rocked in Fenway.
Postponed.
We don't... Oh, it is? That game is?
Yeah.
Okay, well, whenever they play. But Pineda, you know, we both saw him so many times last year looking like a clown with, like, him just with that dumb look on his face after he threw too many strikes, as you put it, and a slider down the middle, and it's a home run. But all the metrics said he was destined to improve this season, that he definitely was going to be better, blah, 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 blah. And he's putting together a good season in these three starts he's had, right? And maybe their pitching isn't as bad as we thought. Obviously, the bullpen's really good.
Pineda had a bad first start, but you're right. He has looked better. The other, you know, part of the Cueto case for them is that Gary Sanchez and Didi have been out.
You mean the Gomez
return.
Case to sell that they're going to be good?
Well, I'm saying that.
Oh, that they'll even get better.
Yeah, they'll get better.
I get you. I like that optimism. Only a delusional Yankee fan could say, well, this is part of the case that they're really good. They have two injured players.
And then, you know, the farm system obviously plays into the equation, but
this year?
It can. I think Clint Frazier is going to come up at some point this year.
Aaron Judge is good, right? I mean, they're better than we thought. They're better than I thought coming into the season. They were sort of like a very crappier version of the Cubs a couple years ago, and everyone was like, they're too early. You know, 2 years ago, the year the Mets beat them in the NLCS, everyone was like, it was way sooner than they expected them to be good. That may be sort of like the Yankees with one of the top farm systems in baseball.
I just can't buy that.
The pitching will hold
up? I think Greg Bird is obviously going to improve, but I cannot see Starlin Castro and Chase Headley just keeping up anywhere near the pace been on.
We didn't even mention him. Like, so yeah, you're right, because so many pieces are outperforming their projection, sort of. CC Sabathia is, right?
Austin Romine is hitting like 355.
Right. So that's a good point. You know, a lot of this stuff will fall off. You make a good point. But Aaron Judge, dude, maybe that's exciting. Maybe he may be actually legitimately emerging. It's funny that everybody in the world is like, just play him and see what you have. And finally, he's forced his way into the lineup, right? I mean, basically. Chase Headley, go ahead.
Every level Judge has been at, when he gets called up, he struggles immediately. And he did last year. I mean, he had one great home run, but he struck out on basically every breaking ball. And it seems as if he's fixed that hole in his game. He's a pretty decent defender. He's leading right fielders in the AL and defensive runs saved. The power is not a question. It's whether he can consistently hit the ball, and he has been doing that. So I think he could be an all-star level player, but I don't think that would be enough even if he sustained this pace for a full season.
Okay, so to be clear, you're what? You're Cueto-ing them, their success, that they'll make the playoffs? You really think the Yankees will make the playoffs?
No, I don't think they're going to make the playoffs.
Okay, so you're Gomez-ing. I don't know. I mean, the Orioles are actually in front in this division. It's funny that you made such a homer fan rundown for this episode that you put the Yankees' success as shocking when the Orioles are actually leading the division and they're supposed to be worse.
Yes.
Speak for your fandom. Defend your fandom. No, I'm joking. I don't know. I guess I'll Cueto them making the playoffs just because hot takes, you know. Woo! Hot takes, sizzling.
Shazam.
All right. Oh, and by the way, we're looking bad with our Gary Sanchez prop bet, for those who remember that. Over the course of the season, versus Buster Posey, who will have more home runs plus RBIs, and we're getting 2.5. So Gary Sanchez can have 2 less home runs plus RBIs than Buster Posey or more, and we win. But we're losing.
Got to be on the field to. You got to be on the field to accrue stats.
That's good. Typical baseball analyst guy. If you're not in the lineup, you're not going to get hits and home runs. All right, the Rockies, bro. This is the last team one. The Rockies are the best record in baseball, right?
They are currently, after beating the Dodgers, the Nationals last night.
Yeah.
So 14-6. They've won 8 of the last 10. 7-game lead currently on the Giants, 5.5-game lead on the Dodgers. And it's crazy because Ian Desmond, David Dahl, and John Gray are all on the DL.
Yeah.
3 of their cornerstone pieces. The big questions are, do they have enough pitching to stay competitive? And this is another point that I heard, I'm not sure where I stand on it, but the effect of playing at 5,000 feet for the whole season, can that have an effect on a team that's adverse? And that's a higher-level question.
That the home team getting fatigued from that?
Yeah, I mean, if you're playing the whole season there, it could negatively impact your body more than players who play the entire season.
Oh, that's interesting.
In a different...
It's like, at what point is it not be an advantage that you're used to the climate and that your body just gets tired from it?
Exactly. So the benefit they are getting from playing at home against other teams is less than sort of the negative impact it has when they then go on the road and play other teams.
Well,
I don't know if I buy that because the Broncos have been a great team.
Yeah. And also, I don't know if I buy that because it's like I just think it would help them, if anything. You know, like, even if you're 500 at home and then you're good on the road, maybe a reverse of other team splits. Even if that is the case, they still have an advantage in their physical condition when they're on the road. And also, that's the difference with the Rockies this year, as far as what little I've seen of them, is that their offense is basically the same. It's been good every year the last couple years.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, in part to Coors, it's hard to separate what's Coors, what's not. But on the road, they have Greg Holland, who has the most saves in baseball right now and is like number one in points leagues, and Jake McGee, who they signed, who like sort of was a horrible, like, why are the Rockies signing a closer last year? But now them is a 1-2. Their bullpen is good. Their pitching's been good. I don't know. I don't think they're going to be good. I don't think they're going to maintain it. I don't like their starting pitching. But you never know, man. I mean, I don't know. But they're definitely now, even if they don't pick it up a lot, are probably not going to sell, make the Carlos Gonzalez trade that everyone's been talking about for like 5 years.
Yeah, they're not. They're definitely not going to sell. I think that they will win the second wild card spot in the NL. It's so early on in the season, but if you think about it, a 5.5-game lead against the Dodgers and then 7 in the against the Giants. The Mets have been tumbling.
It very much matters.
Like, you know, even 5.5, I think it might even be 6 games over the Cardinals. You know, if they just play basically 500 baseball, I think that they will win the second wild card spot. And I think that they do have enough, and especially when you get Desmond back and Dahl, I think that's it just supports that case even more.
Yeah, they're basically what is eight games over 500?
Yeah, 14 and 6.
So, I mean, yeah, if you're right, if they go 500, that's enough. This hot start can carry you to at least a good – it's just the reverse of the Astros last year, started so bad they couldn't catch up. Okay.
Segueing to the Astros.
Yeah, bro. What you tell me.
So our line with that is the Astros winning the American League pennant.
And what are they good so far this year?
Yeah, 13-6. They've won 8 of their last 10. They have a 3-game lead in the AL West. Currently, the odds makers have them at +450 to win the AL pennant, which puts them third behind the Indians and Red Sox. Neither of those teams are so far ahead. The Indians were +350, the Red Sox +400. So
they're number 2 in all of baseball in team whip, which is surprising. Oh, this is a point I didn't get to with the Yankees, but it ties into the Astros also. And Buster only made this point that he wonders if the success of the lefty crap, like low velocity guys like CC Sabathia and Dallas Keuchel, could have to do with they may be in a better position to exploit people being so fly ball happy. I don't know why, like, if you're fly ball happy that you can more likely induce a grounder off those guys. I don't understand, but somebody who's like a sinker ball or ground ball pitcher probably would be in a better spot to exploit that if you're just trying to get the ball up.
I guess the idea would be the majority of lefties that you'll see coming out of the bullpen throw heat. So if you're a slower lefty pitcher, the players who are batting against you may have a tendency to be a little bit early, like their speed is swung up a little bit, and so they could kind of roll over the ball more.
Oh, that makes sense. Yeah, that is a good point.
So it's sort of something that they're just different, and so it impacts in that way. CC has been very surprising. He definitely has reinvented himself with this cutter. He's been very effective.
Who do you think is the best team in the AL, though? Who do you like? I still like the Red Sox. I know that they're not off to a great start, but I their offense is too good. Chris Sale is like as amazing as advertised. Porcello's not doing great. I think the Red Sox are going to win the AL pennant. I don't like the Astros at all, really, as a team, even though they're off to a real good start.
I think it's the Indians 1 and then the Astros 2. Red Sox, too many questions to me. I think they were a little bit overhyped, and
you're overhyped.
So if I'm going to buy or sell, I'm going to Gomez or sell, because I think the Indians are going to win. But I think that the Astros, with the farm system they have in place, I think that they're a starting pitcher away from being right on par with the Indians.
Well, that's easier said than done, my man, to get a starter. All right, so we're done. We're about out of time, but quickly, Avisaíl Garcia. Avisaíl Garcia, has a 1,000 OPS, and he's batting 371. He's only 25. People thought he might be good for a while, and now he's killing it. Do you Cueto his success, bro?
No, I Gomez his success mainly because of the stat you mentioned. I think his BABIP is north of 500.
Yeah, it's by far the highest in baseball.
I think he's better than he was in previous seasons, but do I see him being an all-star? No.
Yeah. Screw him. I'm glad. I could have picked him up in my fantasy leagues, but I'm happy. I picked up David Peralta instead, and like the Diamondbacks offense is killing it. I'm throwing this one in. It's an audible, you know, because I'm that type of guy, right? I don't know what I'm an audible type of guy, I guess is what I meant. That's a silly point to make. The Diamondbacks are number one in baseball in team runs. Where do you think they finish the season? Do you think their offense can stay this good?
I think the offense can stay that good, but it's the obvious questions, right? Their pitching staff. Greinke isn't a sure thing at number one, although I think he will be in. Well above average starter, but Shelby Miller just went on the DL. I see them sort of.
I'm only asking about the offense, dog.
I think the offense can.
Where will
keep
they finish in
pace.
Runs?
In
where?
Runs?
Yeah. Ranked in baseball, team runs.
I think they'll be third or fourth.
Yeah. I was going to say fifth, but they're definitely like I told you, I was listening to Satellite XM Radio, and if you guys are listening, I love you very much. Don't be offended, but it was at 2 a.m. on Friday, and these co-hosts for 20 minutes repeated themselves about how good the 1-5 is in the Diamondbacks lineup, and then this lady would go, and don't forget about Yasmani Tomas, and then they would repeat the same points, and she would go, don't forget about David Peralta, you had 4 doubles tonight.
Don't forget about this first baseman, I think his name is Goldschmidt.
Yeah, and then they'd repeat it again, and then the guy was like, well, Jake Lamb, I've been saying, I mean, he's a 29 home run guy last year, he could put the leather to the metal, or some stupid saying. So I think their offense is for real. I think they are actually better. Patrick Corbin doesn't suck. I didn't know Shelby Miller got hurt. Whatevs. Forget the Diamondbacks. All right. And last one, is Jose Ray done? Tell me those horrible stats you told me, dog.
Oh, man. So Jose Reyes back to the Mets at the trade deadline last year. Right now he is currently sporting a 104 batting average.
He got it up from 08 something.
A 324 OPS for worst in the league amongst qualified batters at this point. Two extra base hits, both were doubles. But the amazing one to me is -8 OPS plus.
And explain why that's so bad for people who don't know, aren't familiar with the number. How does it
100
work?
Is 100 OPS plus is league average. We thought that 0 would be the floor of that, but -8 actually is amazing because it reflects that he's getting so many at bats and hurting the team to an extreme degree beyond what would be reasonable. Because if you are approaching 0 OPS plus, I guess the assumption would be that that player would just not be in the lineup anymore.
Right. But yeah, exactly. That's why it's like unprecedented that you keep getting at bats when you're this bad. But I think about this, you know, this time of year, it's got to be tough. Sort of around now is when like it's actually legitimate. But then again, you look at Avisail Garcia, right, with a 500 BABIP, and it's like maybe it's not regulated out yet. Maybe on the bad end it is. Somebody like Jose Reyes, it's a wrap. Like, do you think he will be in baseball by the end of the year?
Yeah, I think somebody will. I think the Mets are going to have to hold on to him.
I mean, he contributed last year once they traded for him, but what a funny career he had. Like, him and David Wright. Actually, it's very Mets-like that they both came up together, both super exciting, and now they're both injury-plagued failures.
Yeah. He's 33 years old.
Yeah, they're both below 35, man. That's so messed up.
I think
they're supposed to be good forever.
Somebody's going to take a chance on him, and he'll be a rosterable player, especially when the rosters go to 40 players. And I think if the Mets have paid him already, or they, what is he on, a one-year contract? No,
he's actually on the league minimum.
But he's got that
the Rockies are
contract.
Paying him.
Yeah, I just don't see the Mets getting rid of him.
Hopefully they don't play him. All right, last thing is we'll talk about the contracts next time, but I was listening to our god, Mike Francesa, who's retiring at the end of the year. You've got to get listening in now while you can.
Big Mike.
And people are calling, going, Mike, Girardi overmanages. It's ridiculous. And then Mike would say, "That you are you stupid?" He would be out of work for 1 minute if he got fired. Do you think Girardi's an overmanager, Tom?
An overmanager?
Yeah, yeah. This is the call. All right, you be Tom. Like, hello, welcome to Cap Figure Podcast, Tom. Ryan in New York. Say that.
Hey, welcome to Cap Figure Podcast. This is Ryan. Hey, Ryan in New York. This is Tom.
Hey, Tom. Well, first time, long time. I just wanted to get your take, and I'll hang up and listen, but I think Joe Girardi's an overmanager. He's doing too much with the gobbledygook. I think he's just no good. Thanks.
So what do you want me to say?
Respond
here?
As a talk show host, dingy.
Well, I think that you're an idiot, for one.
Okay.
What's your name again? Are you actually still Ryan from Staten Island?
I hung up, and I'm listening.
I don't care if you never listen to me again, but yeah, you're an idiot.
Look, I was just going to say, your first words are, you're an idiot, your program director's coming in, and you're having a meeting with the suits of the station after. So I think you need to tone it down a little with the idiot stuff, Tom.
Yeah, I think Girardi's a great manager. I mean, he has done more with less. I think he was one of the crucial parts in sort of people say he overmanages the bullpen, but every other team is doing it now.
Yeah, who cares? Yeah, there's no such thing. It's like,
and you know, quite frankly, like, I think the team has overperformed the last couple of years with what they've had.
Yeah, but I don't think the manager can impact that much, but whatever they can, obviously he's doing well.
And
there's no such thing as overmanaging.
Who would be better to hire?
What motivation? Yeah, absolutely. Right. That's what Mike Francesa said. If he got fired, he'd be out of work for 2 minutes. It's just a funny point because multiple callers were saying this. This is why I'm bringing it up. And also, it's funny, like, what incentive on earth would you possibly have to quote-unquote overmanage? Your goal is to win games.
Yeah.
Like, it's not like, oh, he made that good pitching move. It just didn't work out. It's not what you want to hear as a manager.
Yeah, that's idiotic.
All right, so that's it, yo. I don't know. Leave a review. What are you on Twitter?
At Cap Figure.
Follow that, please. And subscribe maybe in iTunes or leave a review or something. Or tweet at us or something. You know, like any of those things you want and stuff you want to hear and hear us talk about. And thank you for Susan Waldman and Mike Tyson.
Bye-bye.
Bye, thank you.